This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
My heart is beating fast with gladness. Oh, what a feeling when I rise and think about you. You wash away all morning sadness. I know that I am walking in and you are watching over me. I know that I was blinded, but you came into my life and touched me, and now I see. Evermore. And now I met you in the door, and you will never let me go, never let me go. Never let me go again. Never let me go, never let me go, never let me go again. I love the feeling that I get when I can talk to you. You answer me with loving kindness. I love the way my spirit feels when I have pleased you. You fill me with your loving kindness.
Oh, praise God. It is another beautiful day.
Today, we are repeating a past program with a friend that's passed away.
Well, don't touch that dial. Stay a while. I have an interesting program for you, and I'm calling this series, Who Am I? Interesting guest, author, teacher, pastor, speaker at Global Awakening, Joe McIntyre. Now, I want to ask the question to some of you people out there. Some of you listening, you confess that you're a born-again believer, a Christian, and even though you believe and confess that, you might feel or feel somehow just like a person on the street. You do not understand what being a Christian is all about. Is that you? What has God really said? Who am I as a Christian? What has God really done and surrounded us with? What's he done for us through Jesus Christ? Well, our author today, Joe McIntyre, he is going to address that question, I hope. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. What a life. But I see that you've written many books, and we were going to focus on one particular book, Who We Are in Christ.
Okay.
Is that what you would like to do today?
Sure.
Okay. Now, where you're out in Bothell, Washington.
Right.
And you have a church called Word of His Grace Church, north off the North Creek Parkway, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. What have you got to tell us today? What's on your heart?
Well, Jim, what's on my heart is to see believers come to know the overwhelming grace of God. All of us can give lip service to saying we believe in the grace of God, but when we really behold it by the revelation of the Spirit, it can't help but just bring us in awe of the goodness of God. And I know that when I came into the faith, I was gloriously saved, delivered from drugs and alcohol and a sinful lifestyle. Yet within a few months, I was struggling again. And in hindsight, I would say it was because no one ever taught me what really happened to me in the new birth. I didn't understand that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God. So I still saw myself as part of the old life. I still was haunted by the ghosts of the past.
Let's say that's true of many people. You're addressing an issue I think many people face.
I think so. And Paul talks about it as the necessity of renewing our minds. because you can have a recreated spirit born of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, in the same body and in the same mind. If we do not renew our minds to get it in agreement with our spirits, we'll walk in the what Paul calls the futility of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where many believers walk today, is in the futility of their minds.
Mm-hmm. With their thinking doesn't line up with what God's thoughts are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have followed the writings and the works of E.W. Kenyon, and many people have. In fact, I told you my wife, when she got born again, she got right into his books. That's what they advised her to do. And they're so loaded, you can only read a few sentences, particularly when you're a new believer.
Yeah.
He has developed much of your focus of who you are in Christ, correct?
Yes.
And like so many people, we don't know who we are unless somebody teaches us and somebody has some knowledge and skill. And E.W. Kenyon looked at the scripture in an in-depth way that maybe we don't pick up in church. Amen?
Yes. He went through quite a struggle. In his day, in the late 19th century, there was a great holiness revival going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they referred to a sanctification experience as the second work of grace.
Okay.
Before he got established in the scriptures, he was just seeking an experience with God. And at a certain point, he said, you know, I've discovered that what I need is not a second work of grace. I need to appreciate the first work of grace.
Oh, amen. Okay.
Yeah. And he began to rest in what he used to teach very strongly, the finished work of Christ. There's nothing for us to do. It's all been done for us. We just receive it by faith. And learn to walk in it, of course.
The thing is, God thinks much higher of us sometimes than we think of ourselves. You know, we don't realize, in a sense, that he loves us. I should put it this way. The simplest way to get across is he loves us more than we realize. I had experience when the Lord showed me the heart of a witch and prostitute in Brazil. When I began to pray for her, the Lord says to me, this is incredible. He didn't condemn her. He wasn't angry with her. And he said this. He said, she's perfect.
Whoa.
I love her. He showed me honor and respect for her. Such love. He also showed me that he was proud of his creation. Do we think like that?
Hardly.
No.
No.
Okay.
Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he said, since Christ died for all, then all died, and we that live should live unto Christ. And he says, therefore, we know no man according to the flesh.
Mm.
And our tendency is to know ourselves according to the flesh and to know others according to the flesh.
That's true.
And yet God has made has done a work in us that he honors, even if we don't even see it, if we don't understand it. This new creation is his work.
And he honors it. Yes,
yeah.
He does.
He actually believes in it.
Oh, that's what he showed me. Oh, I'll tell you, that's what he showed me as I prayed for street people and how he had such love and honor. I was afraid to tell anybody. It almost blew me away. I could barely stand up. And God's, I'll use these words, and forgive me if I don't have it correct, a respect, a love, an honor, appreciation for that person standing in front of me. He was so proud. I can only say it like this. Maybe someday I'll know how else to say it. He was so proud of his creation. Look what I have done. Okay.
He seems to be unmoved by how much we goof things up with sin.
Thank you, Lord.
He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and he gave us a destiny and a purpose. And if I can use this word of God, he's obsessed with getting us to see it and walk in it. And he's unmoved by our failures, by our woundedness, our brokenness. Those things don't intimidate him, because he knows he can heal everything that sin has ever done to mess us up. And he's just trying to get us into agreement with himself.
He can heal everything that we've done, every mess we've made.
Yeah.
And I have people that write me from prison and other places. And that's a wonderful lesson for them to hear today. Everything you've done, he can heal. You don't have to carry it around anymore. Go on. Go on, Joe.
It even goes beyond that. He actually takes what Satan has done to us, to ruin us, and he makes it a stepping stone to greatness.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our brokenness, our woundedness, is the very place where he reveals his abundant grace, and then we become healers to those who are experiencing the same problems because we're moved with compassion, and because God has delivered us, we have faith for others to be delivered as well. So our brokenness actually becomes healing power.
Wow, wow. And so we can then do to others through his power what he's done for us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Freely you have received, freely give." So the more I receive, the more I'm able to give. In fact, that goes really to the issue of the Father's love, because we love because he first loved us. And many believers are trying to develop their love walk, and that's a good thing. The only thing is, you can't develop it any more than you have revelation of his love for you. When you know he loves you, you want to give it away. But if you struggle with condemnation and guilt and shame and feeling unworthy, then it's hard for you to receive his love, and then your love tank is empty. You don't have much to give.
I know people suffering with that.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, and he is willing and waiting and wanting to give that to us, that experience of his love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Lord told me, in fact, it's in the introduction to my book, Who We Are in Christ. I was teaching in a meeting some years back on faith, and a woman came up to me afterwards and asked me a question, which made it clear that she didn't understand what I was saying. And I thought what I was saying was pretty simple and pretty clear, and so I was a little surprised that she didn't get it. Well, I went away from our discussion rather troubled, and I said, "Lord, why is it that she didn't understand what I was saying?" He said, "It's because they don't know that I love them."
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "Well, Lord, then should I teach on your love?" And the Lord said something that changed my life. He said, "Show people who they are in Christ, and they'll know that I love them."
Oh, my. That seemed like a tall task.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's really simple. That's the good news.
How so?
Well, it's kind of like there's two men in the earth, Adam and Jesus, two corporate men, Adam and all of his descendants, the head of one race, Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren, the head of another race. And you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Well, if you're in Christ, you're a joint heir, a son of God, fellow heir with Christ, and all the riches that Christ paid for are your inheritance. And you're growing in faith and in knowledge, in revelation knowledge, knowledge of Scripture that's revealed by the Holy Spirit, brings you further and further into the renewing of your mind and possessing your inheritance. It's almost childlike in its simplicity, yet at the same time, it can be so profound that the greatest intellects on the earth can just be in awe of it, too, at the same time. It's kind of a paradox.
It is. And they've been writing and writing and writing and writing, and it's that simple.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And I know the start of many things that God showed me. I've studied and studied, but when he gave me a revelation, he spoke to my heart, it all came clear.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a revelation. We need God's Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. We need you to speak to our hearts. This is what you're called to do.
Well, that's, you know, the funny thing is, God told me, I had a visitation from the Lord about 30 years ago, and I went out to a cabin to seek the Lord in prayer and fasting, and it was a crisis time in my life. And the Lord, I kind of just came to the end of my abilities. And the Lord showed up in the room I was in, and the peace of God flooded me, and I knew that everything was going to be all right. And I was in one of those places where I just wanted to do whatever the Lord wanted me to do. I said, Lord, what can I do for you? And he said, tell people how good I am. And I said, well, Lord, that's what I want to do. He said, I know.
Oh, he'd been planted the seed in you a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. And Kenyon's writings helped me as well as many other along the way. But when I was a young believer, I read Kenyon's book in his presence. Mm-hmm. And in the first chapter, he talks about how that the man's hunger for God is only one side of the equation.
Mm.
God is hungry for man and wants fellowship with him as well. And I had never heard anybody refer to the Father heart of God. And it brought me into a relationship with God as my Father. My earthly father was not a warm, affectionate father, and so I didn't really know what a father was like. But when I found out I had a heavenly father, it began to heal all the wounds that I had carried.
Mm. This is one thing, one ministry the Lord told me about 8 months ago. He said, I want you to minister to the brokenhearted. And he says, when you pray for them, I will infuse power, healing power, like it's intravenous into them. In other words, I didn't have to do a lot of doctrine, a lot of talking, and I have had the opportunity to pray for people, and their broken hearts healed. I've seen miracles of broken hearts healed, families restored. And somebody may think, well, that's not the most grand miracle. But I tell you what, it's so grand to me. I just almost want to go under the power of God. My knees get weak when I think of how I've seen broken hearts healed. And
well, as you have observed, with Randy Clark and the healing ministry, that I'm very involved in physical healing. But the interesting thing is, you can get physically healed and still be limping spiritually.
Most definitely.
Because of a broken heart. And Father's interested in the whole man. He restores our soul. He binds up the brokenhearted. Sets at liberty those that are bruised.
Joe, our few moments have come to an end so quickly. So quickly. And do you think you'd like to talk some more to us?
If you would like me to, I'd love to.
Great. Well, my friend, I thank you for just pausing a while and not touching that dial, staying with us. You know, God does love you. And the more you study and the more you fellowship with Him, that love grows in all kinds of areas. As Joe was saying, he's as interested in loving us and having us love him. You know, he's interested in you, whoever you are, wherever you're at, no matter what you've done. He's interested, and he wants your love too. You can help God, and I've told somebody once, you know, I'm called to meet God's needs, and they got angry and said, but God don't need anything. My friend, he needs you, and you need him. If you're lonely and brokenhearted today, wherever you're at, I want to pray for you right now. And Joe should still be on the line in here. I pray for that woman right now that has a broken heart, that's been mistreated, a victim. Lord God, bring healing right now to that heart. That promise you made to me, you would infuse healing into that heart right now. Well, I thank you for this time. You know, you might want to get Joe's book. I don't want you to miss anything that God is doing, and he's doing a lot. And you know, people write books now. You can read about God's love, and as you read and meditate and think on it, it becomes part of you. As one man says, part of your real estate. It becomes part of you. Well, I'm glad what Joe says. He says it seems that God is not moved by our failures. And he also said that our messes, God can take your mess today and turn it around for your good. Did you get that? God can take your mess and turn it around for your good today. And, well, you may not have made the mess. Maybe somebody's done it to you. This seems to be the theme the Lord has in my heart. Those that have been victims out there of messes. I pray again, once again, for there's one particular person out there that suffered. And I'm praying for you. And your car's beat up. Your stove is not working very well. And I'm praying right now, God, infuse strength into this heart. Heal this broken heart, this tired woman. Heal this broken heart. I ask for that in Jesus' name. Well, I think I cut Joe a little short today. I wanted to hear him so bad, and I was so excited. I cut him short a few minutes, and he has so much to say. You know, I used to think that being a Christian meant to be, well, beat up and broke and sad and sorrowful and always looking out for when the devil's going to crack you one on the head. But you know, that does happen. But how wrong I was. That isn't God's plan for our life. No, that's not God's will or wants for your life. In fact, Jesus taught in John 10:10. This is what he said. This is Jesus' words. First of all, he's talking about the devil in the first part of that verse. He says the thief, that's the devil, comes only in order to kill, steal, and destroy. Has anything happened in your life and your home that fits under that category? But Jesus said, this is what he said. The verse is not done. It's not complete. Just stay with me. This is what Jesus said. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundant. You see, the thief wants to kill, steal, and destroy all those good things in your life, the good things that God may want to give you. And sometimes we let them because we do not know what God has supplied through Jesus Christ. We do not know. We don't know who we are. We're afraid. We're timid. Well, Joe addresses some of these issues. He writes the book, Who We Are in Christ. And you need to know that if you want to win the battles today of life, if you want to feel good and you want to understand what's going on around you, it would help to read Joe's book. You know, I read the Bible, but I read a lot of other things too. And I'll admit, I've heard Joe speak now, and I've been listening to him as I edited this program, and it's touching my heart and it's encouraging me. It's lifting me up. I want the same for you. I believe on the web here in order this book that he's written, Who We Are in Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. It was wonderful that you would do it. I'd like to hear from you too. I need to hear from you. I want to pray for you. My mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. And that's Jim Rome. Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Let me know what God's done in your life and what he's done through the program.
Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on. Listen in to the glory line chorus. Listen to the glad hosannas roll. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Get a little taste of joy awaiting. Get a little heaven in your soul. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net. Would you like to have Jim Rome come to your group, church, or special event? You can call Global Air Force at 412-466-5655. That's Global Air Force at 412-466-5655. You can get in touch with him through his website, www.globalairforce.net. Once again, the website is www.globalairforce.net.
You answer me with a loving kindness. Fill me with your loving kindness. I know that you are faithful and you love me even if I grieve you for a while. And even though I make you sad, you look upon me and forgive me with a smile. Yeah.
Flying with Global Air Force.